Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. What a beautiful song, Something Beautiful. And we know that through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He can make something beautiful out of any life that turns themselves over to Him and by faith accepts Him, Jesus, as their Savior. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. My name is Lane Lohman, the producer of the program, and I do hope that you will really be challenged by the sermon that my dad is preaching. We started the sermon last week, What Shall We Do When God Riseth Up? Powerful message to consider how we're going to stand before Him and give an account of the kind of life that we've lived. And if you have an unsaved loved one, I would encourage you to have them listen to the sermon. And they can do that by going to our website, lohmanministries.org. Click on the media page. And on the dates, the last two weekends of the month of April, and they can listen to the sermon. If you would like a complete copy of this sermon, you can write to me, and I'll send it out to you on CD format. I only ask that you enclose a gift to help defray some of the cost and support this radio program. And you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Well, this last weekend of the month of April, I'm taking a few days off, and then beginning in May, I'll be at Taylorville, Illinois, Church of the Nazarene, May 7 to 10. May 14, High Point, North Carolina, Charity Baptist. It's an annual visit to this wonderful church. Mother's Day will be there for both services. So if you live in the High Point, Greensboro area, I hope you'll come and join us. If you have a church home you attend on Sunday morning, they have Sunday night service. And you can come and join us for the Sunday evening service. That's May the 14th, High Point, North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church. May 21 to 24, Oak Hill, West Virginia, at the Church of the Nazarene. So I cover your prayers as we travel to these places to preach the Word of God. Thanks so much for praying for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for our listening audience. Thank you for those who support this program, for those who listen almost every week perhaps, for those who are just happening on the station. I pray that you would speak to their hearts through the message today if they don't know you. That's the purpose of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray that would happen through the program today. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you as you listen to the program today.
And there may those things that bring condemnation, those things that you fear. And my friends, mark it well, you'll not be able to deceive him. Deceive the preacher, yes. Deceive your companion, yes. Deceive your parents, yes. Deceive your neighbors, yes. But my friends, one of these days, your sins are going to show up. Your life is going to be exposed, and in the blaze of divine incandescence, your heart is going to reveal the way that you've lived in the white lights of ineffable purity. Your sins are going to show up in that day. I did most of my evangelistic preaching during the war years in my church that I pastored for 19 years, and I had a young lady to come to me at the beginning of revival one night. And she said, Brother Loman, I'm coming to the meeting until you preach on death, hell, the judgment, or the second coming. Preach on either one of those subjects. I won't be back to meeting anymore. I said, Dorothy, why do you feel that way? She said, because when I think about death and hell and the judgment and the second coming, it disturbs me. My nerves get on edge. I can't rest. My appetite fails me. I said, you won't be as kind as a preacher can to tell you exactly what's wrong, why these truths bother you. It's because that down underneath the surface, there's something there that condemns you. There's something there that hasn't been covered by the blood. But my friends, I don't have to go to North Carolina to find people that don't like to hear a preacher preach on death, hell, the judgment, and the second coming. I'm preaching to church people in this great audience tonight. Don't mean to be unkind, but you don't like really the preacher that'll tell you that you're going to die one of these days, that you're going to come to the end of what we call physical existence here on this earth. You don't like for a preacher to preach about the agonizing black nights of the damned, the regions of outer darkness where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And you don't like to be reminded that one of these days the blessed Son of God is going to step down on the clouds of the morning and catch away his waiting bride. And unless you're under the blood, and unless you know what it is to have the Holy Spirit abiding within, you're going to miss it just as sure as you're sitting in divine presence tonight. And I might just as add right at this point, you're not going to make it, mister or kind lady, because you're who you are, but you're going to make it because of what you are. And the only thing that'll make the change will be the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing what it means to be redeemed, to be set free, to be delivered from the condemnation of sin. But it's not only a proposition based upon the attribute of his omnipotence, his omnipresence, and his omniscience, but it is a proposition based upon the attribute of divine integrity. You can't prevent him from rising up. When he rises up, you can't escape him. When you stand there, you can't deceive him. But my friends, when you stand in his presence, you'll not be able to bribe him. In this life, some people buy their way out of trouble. Some people, beloved, can maneuver because they're who they are, and because of their station in life, they've been able to escape some of the things that they've been guilty of in this life. Sometimes you see a dastardly crime that's been committed that takes the headline of the newspaper. There are prominent names that appear in the circles of that story. Ladies and gentlemen, it isn't long till you wonder why there was never a report of the disposition of that case. I'll tell you why. In this life, some people buy their way off because of their position, because of their standing in the eyes of political and social areas. They've been able, beloved, to slide out, beloved, from under the particular indictment that's been made. But you hear me, friend, tonight, there's going to come a judgment one of these days where men and women will not be able to buy their way out. You'll not be able to bribe him in that day. Look at those words over the throne. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Mark it well, friends, tonight. Justice is oft times outraged on this earth. Judgment is brought in soul, but not soul. In that day of judgment, not be able to bribe him. That first question, what am I going to do when God riseth up? The second question is, what am I going to answer him? What am I ever going to say when he calls me to his judgment? Do you ever read that story in the New Testament about a king that made a feast? And he invited in the people, and according to custom, everyone that came to the wedding feast, they gave them a wedding garment. But here comes a man, and I see him as he walks up to the door, and they offer him the wedding garment. And I hear him say, "I don't need that. You don't realize who I am. I serve on the board at the First Church. And I'm on the board down at the bank, and I own property in this city, and I'm an outstanding citizen. I don't need that." And he brushed by without the wedding garment. Now you hear me, friend. The book says, "And when the king came," and don't you ever forget it, the king's coming. He's coming. "And when the king came, he found one not having on the wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Why camest thou in hither without the wedding garment?' And the book says, he was speechless. And the king said, 'Bind him, hand and foot.'" You see, his church membership didn't make any difference now. His social prestige and his political position didn't matter now, but the king said, "Bind him, hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness, where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." Let me ask you, friend, what are you going to answer? Every time I read that passage of scripture over there that says, "To whom much is given, much is going to be required," it almost makes my blood run cold to think of the countless multitudes of church people, deacons and stewards and Sunday school teachers and choir members and leaders in the church, don't know what it is to have an encounter with Jesus, don't remember how long it's been since you had a spiritual uplift in your soul. Beloved, seem to use your church as a crutch to get by on in this life. I'm going to tell you, tomorrow's missionary day, and we've got missionaries standing back there, sitting back there, that I respect to the nth degree, but I'd rather be in the shoes of the darkest man in Africa that never heard one gospel sermon than to be in the shoes of some of you folks sitting here tonight that's heard enough gospel to save the world. "And to whom much is given, much is going to be required." What are you going to answer him? What kind of an excuse are you going to have? Who are you going to blame? What are you going to use for getting our place then? Writer says in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And every person in this congregation tonight, preacher and layman alike, one day is going to face some kind of a judgment. I had a pastor once, and I'm going to soon close. I'm not through. But I had a pastor once that I had no confidence in. He was the most foul-mouthed man I ever heard. No difficulty for him to belch out filth and tell a dirty story. And I got sick of it. And I was glad the day they moved him from our church. Years passed. I was attending the annual conference in Greensboro, North Carolina, one day, and they were waiting for a report from the committee, one of the committees, and I saw this former pastor of mine get up and walk across the platform and ask the bishop for permission to say something. I started to get up and leave, but I'm glad I stayed, for what I heard thrilled me. The bishop granted him permission, and he stood at the podium, and he said to that great conference body, he said, "Folks, something happened to me the other morning that I've got to relate to you that's changed my life." My phone rang. 6 o'clock in the morning, pouring rain. And a young lady said, "Pastor, I've got to see you at once." He said, "I told her to go to the study. I'd come as soon as I could." I got up and dressed, went to the study. She was standing outside under her umbrella. I invited her in, set her down next to my desk. And I said, "Young lady, what brings you here this hour of the morning?" She said, I hated to bother you this early, but I didn't want you to get involved in other things before I had a chance to see you today. I got a letter I want you to read." He said, she handed me that letter, and I took the letter, and this is what it said. "Dear sis, I'm in a foxhole on Guadalcanal. The fighting isn't a lull right now, but some of my best buddies died this morning, and their blood stained the soil around my foxhole. And while everything's so quiet, I've been thinking about you and about Mom and Dad and about our church. Sis, have you prayed for me since I've been gone to war? Do you and Mom and Dad still have family devotions together like we did when we were all home together? And sis, what kind of a preacher do we have? Does he preach the truth? Have you had revival lately in the church?" And he said, when I finished reading that letter, I turned to her rather sarcastically, and that was the kind of man he was. He said, "What do you want me to do about it?" She said, "Pastor, I got that letter from my brother yesterday. It didn't get to me, but I read it again after my date last night." And she said, "When he said, 'Have you prayed for me since I've been gone?' I knew I hadn't been in a position to pray for him because I'd been backslidden so long." But she said, "I went in my room after midnight, and I got on my knees, and I wept my way back to Calvary. I went in the room and awoke my dad and my mother, and I read the letter to them. And I said, 'Mom and Dad, both of you know that we haven't taken time to have family devotions, to my knowledge, since he's been gone.'" And she said, "Pastor, my mother and daddy rolled out of bed after 1 o'clock this morning and wept their way back to Calvary. I'm ready to answer that letter now for me and for my mother and father. And I want to know, what do you want me to tell my brother about you?" And that preacher stood there, and tears streamed down across his face. For the first time, he said, "In 20 years, I realized I'd been a traitor. I'd been a traitor." He said, "I got up out of my desk chair, and I said, 'Little lady, just a minute.'" And he said, "I went over and got on my knees in the corner of my study, and I cried out, 'Oh God, could you come back to the heart of the backslidden preacher and give me the joy of the Lord and restore the peace that I one time had?'" And he said to that conference body, "God met my need." And I said, "Little lady, write, answer the letter to your brother. Tell him that he hadn't had much of a preacher before, but from this morning on, he's going to have a preacher that'll be faithful to the cause of Christ and will stand in the gap. Listen, friend, I'm preaching to men and women and maybe some pastors tonight that haven't taken time to give proper consideration. One of these days, you and I are going to have to stand before him. What am I going to do when God riseth up? When he visiteth, what am I going to answer him?" My last pastorate, and I'm through with this. We had a unified service once a month, and I preached to the entire Sunday school. One Sunday morning, brought my message. Several people at the altar, young lady knelt here, and a mother knelt next to her. And every one of them found victory. But that mother stood up and she said, "Mr. Loman, let me say a word." She said, "I've been in the church all my life." She said, "My daughter found victory here this morning, but I got some boys that's lost. And I'm to blame. My attitude at home hasn't been Christian. My influence hasn't been what it ought to have been around my boys. And the message got to me this morning." And she said, "Sitting here in this seat, I made up my mind I wasn't going home till I got it settled. She said, God met my need this morning. We rejoiced together. I had dinner with my family in the parsonage, and at 1:45, sitting in my study, my phone rang. And a young man said, Preacher Lohman, please, as soon as you can get there, go to the emergency room at the hospital. I went as quickly as I could. And I was there when the ambulance backed up to the loading platform and two attendants rolled a cop out with a sheet covering a silent form, and I followed them into the emergency room. And I pulled the sheet back. And there lying on that cot, silent in death, was that mother that knelt at my altar less than 3 hours before, that said I had made up my mind I wasn't going home till I got it settled. Friend, have you got anything that needs to be settled tonight? Have you got anything that's on your record that hasn't been covered by the blood? Is any question marks, any doubts? I ask you, as Job cried out, what am I going to do when God riseth up and when he visiteth? What am I going to answer him?
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Faustoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.